Schlossberg, and this is Travelitch Radio, the show that lets you enjoy the pleasures of travel without any of the problems, all from the comfort of your easy chair. This is our 10th season and 394th episode.
At Travelitch Radio, we cover all the bases. We talk to hotel people, destinations, airlines, authors, writers, entrepreneurs, and tour operators. Anyone and everyone connected to the world of travel, and not only the USA, but around the world.
And sometimes we even go beyond the world we know. Tonight, our special guest is travel blogger Mallory Yolen Cohen, editor, publisher, writer, and with the Northeast U.S. edition of Getaway Mavens. It's a great travel website. Mallory, welcome to Travelitch Radio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you. Here's a question I've been asking myself for more than 50 years. What motivated you to become a travel writer?
Well, I always loved to travel since I was a toddler, and I've always loved to write, same thing. And I put those passions together and made it work as my sort of second or third chapter in life. I had originally been a stockbroker in the financial field for close to 20 years. And once my kids were home, I decided I wanted to stay home and write from home originally and then branch out into travel, which I ended up doing.
So how long have you been doing it, and how, when, and where did you get started?
I have been specifically writing for travel for about 20 years, since 2000. I started in... I had my first piece published in 1998, and it was in a Northeast boating magazine called Offshore. And it was a destination piece for boaters in the Northeast region. And that was sort of, I branched off from there, started writing for Westchester Magazine in Westchester, New York, and then... started getting assignments from larger magazines. So I was able to parlay more local articles and local papers into more regional and national glossies and newspapers. And now I write my blog, Getaway Mavens, and I also freelance for Newsday in New York.
Since you mentioned Westchester, are we correct in assuming you live in the greater New York area?
I do. I live in Stamford, Connecticut. So I don't actually live in Westchester, but I grew up in Portchester, which is in Westchester County, and I know it really, really well. So... and then I went to college in Massachusetts. I went to UMass Amherst, got a degree. My major was in psychology, but my minor was in journalism. And then I went on to to get my master's degree in Nacogdoches, Texas, which is about 90 miles north of Houston. In community psychology. So I got my master's there, and then I ditched all that and moved to Houston and became a stockbroker and bond broker. So I've had, you know, several careers, and this is the most fun. This is sort of, you know, my more retirement career, I would say.
Except you're not going to retire. My goodness.
No, I'm never going to retire because I can do this until I drop. And I love it.
I'll bet. You crossed the country on U.S. Route 6 from Massachusetts to California alone in 2011.
Yes.
What prompted you to do that, and can you tell us about it?
Sure. I had been writing researching travel stories from home because I was raising my kids and they were young. And so a lot of the things I was writing about, I never got to visit.
Mm-hmm.
But I always had, spilkies. I always wanted to go out and explore the wider country and the wider world. So when my youngest one went to college, I Googled the longest road in the United States. And I wanted to go on that road and write a guidebook to it. And it happened to be, what was popping up a lot was U.S. Route 6. And it had been the longest road at 3,652 miles from Provincetown, Mass. To Long Beach, California. It had been the longest road from 1936 to 1964 when California renumbered its routes. And at that point, Route 20 became the longest road. But a lot of people have done guidebooks to the major highways, and I wanted to do something a little weirder. So I decided to travel on Route 6 and do a mile-by-mile guidebook, which I ended up doing.
Wow.
And it took me about 8 months to plan. I used a lot of my, skills as a travel writer at that point and contacted destinations. I contacted cities. I contacted mayors and chamber of commerces in the smaller towns and told them I was coming. And I started getting all these emails back. They were so happy. They were excited that I was making this trip. And I realized that my first goal, which was just to do a mile-by-mile guidebook, had become sort of more a cultural trip through small-town America, and how much these small towns were really looking for attention again after the interstates were put in, and they were basically left in the dust. So there had been a lot of infrastructure, motels, and gas stations built when Route 6 went across the country. And then when the interstates came to be, a lot of these small towns were up several miles out of the way. And so people weren't getting off the interstates to go to them anymore, and they started dying. And this type of attention could be really important to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was writing a lot about that when I came back, and I made a lot of friends. And excuse me.
I just wanted to let people know that if they tuned in late, we're talking with Mallory Yolen Cohen of Getaway Mavens.
Yeah, Getaway Mavens.
I wanted to ask you, Mallory.
Getaway Mavens. It's actually
Getaway
I'm
Mavens.
Looking at this. Getaway Mavens. Right. So just
Getaway
one.
Getaway Mavens.
Getaway Mavens, G-E-T-A-W-A.
Mallory, there's a series streaming on Netflix right now called Virgin River, which I thoroughly enjoyed, and it's set in one of these small California towns. Have you seen that, and is there any comparison to anything you saw on your trip?
No, I haven't seen it, and now I think I should.
it's similar to Northern Exposure, but it's set in California.
Okay.
Near Mendocino. Near Mendocino.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that was on the coast. So this actually came across in the Sierra Nevadas and then, went down from there. So we were I never made it to the coast except to L.A. and Long Beach. And that was at the very end, and it was kind of rushed. I really came to like these people, and as a Northeasterner, a Northeastern girl from Connecticut, I had stereotypes about people from Iowa and Nebraska, you know, the Plain States, and they totally blew me away out there. Mm. I was invited to talk to a group of seniors and in somewhere in Iowa, not near Iowa City, and they came at 7:30 in the morning for donuts and coffee. 30 people came to see me speak, and apparently I had been live blogging the whole time on my trip. I introduced my Stay on Route 6 blog like a month before I left, before I started my drive, and then I started blogging about my day-by-day experiences on the road. And so by the time I got out there, which was about, 3 weeks into the drive, they had been following me forever. Oh. And I was so surprised that these people in their 70s and 80s, 90s in some cases, had been following me on a blog, A, and this was 10 years ago, and B, when asked who's been following Mallory and how many want to jump in her, you know, in her trunk and go the rest of the way with her, and everybody's hand shot up. It was so cute. So
one quick question though: were the coffee and donuts free?
Yes, and I think that had a lot to do with getting everybody there. That so
okay, Mallory, you started out freelancing for print publications, but why start a travel blog, and how did you name it?
Well, originally it was going to be Wild Hairs. Because I actually co-publish and co-edit and co-own this blog with another maven, Sandra Foyt, who lives in Albany and in Connecticut. So the two of us run it. She had a blog called Albany Kid. And we met at a New York Times travel show media day. And they're very good. I love going to them. I missed it this year.
Me too.
But anyway, so she knew about blogging. I knew about print media, but it had gotten to the point where a lot of the magazines that I was writing for were shutting down, and because of the state of media, print media today, a lot of them were going out of business, and I saw where that was heading. And at that point, I'd had about 13 or 15 years worth of travel stories and files, and I wanted to make it my own. I always thought back. I wrote an article for Ladies Home Journal early on in my travel writing career, and I felt like it was edited almost, so I didn't recognize it. Oh. And I wanted more control over my own words and my own blog. And I knew the way I wanted to format it, and I knew exactly how, to present it. And so Sandra knew the ins and outs of blogging and how to get readers. And I knew print media and how to write stories. And so, it was a great combo. It still is. We're still, doing it together.
And you focused just on the Northeastern USA?
Yeah, I focus on the Northeast because when I was doing my 6-week trip across country, about the third week, like 3.5 weeks in, I was really homesick. I was in the Rockies, it was starting to get, you know, drier out there. I missed my, you know, humid East Coast. I missed my husband terribly. You know, I said, and he flew out to Denver to meet me for four nights, but it really wasn't enough. And I knew I had another 3 weeks to go, but I made the decision by the time I got to California that wherever my next project was just going to be in an area of the country that I could drive to within a day or explore within 2 weeks maximum. And that seemed to be my sweet spot of being away from home. And, you know, so that's really why I chose it. The extreme southwest of Virginia is 12 hours away, and the extreme north of Maine is also 12 hours away from me. I'm right in between. So I decided to just focus on northeast towns, regions from Virginia to Maine. And our readership, it's turned into millennials and boomers. Originally, I thought it would only be interesting to boomers because it's kind of upscale. The places that, you know, I write about are the lodging and restaurants are more higher end. But I love uncovering, you know, little behind-the-scenes gems and museums that people had never heard of and quirky things like that. So
you have a great swath of territory. That's the, you know, the 12 Northeast states, Washington, D.C., Virginia to Maine.
Yeah.
How do you decide
yes.
what you're going to write about, where you're going, and how often do you post?
So I post about, well, actually it depends. When I've traveled, when I've done a road trip and I've been to, let's take, in October I went to Virginia and Pennsylvania, Virginia, and I had five overnights. And so I posted the week after I got back, I worked on five different stories, and so I posted those pretty close together. But there's some times that I'm not traveling at all, and COVID's definitely put a crimp on a lot of that. So while I'm updating different posts, I'm not necessarily putting up new posts. To answer your question about what I decide to, you know, what I'm deciding to write about, I work with a lot of destination marketers and, you know, local tourism people. And they reach out to me. I get pitched a lot from destinations. So like a magazine would be. And I've worked with, and I belong to a organization called MATPRA, MATPRA, which is the Mid-Atlantic Tourism PR Alliance. And I'm a vetted journalist with them, and there's about 50 to 75 destinations that MATPRA represents. And I know almost everybody, all the contacts all over Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia. They invite me, you know, they host me, they invite me to come and explore if something's new or, you know, just if there's an area that I've never seen before, like I was just in Orange, Virginia, home of James Madison. But, you know, Orange is trying to promote itself, Orange County, Virginia. So they'll call journalists, and I'm one of them. So that's primarily how I get asked. I also, when I freelance for Newsday, I'm assigned articles to write. So that's, you know, I always have in the back of my head, like, ideas for what I'm going to write about for Newsday. So it's always good to have been in place, different places. So
we're talking with Mallory Yolen Cohen of Getaway Mavens.
Thank you.
Mallory, do your posts and articles concentrate on a particular type of tourism, culinary, historical, outdoor adventure, or are they all-inclusive?
We have about 500 posts, 500 destinations on Getaway Mavens. And so we like to have an all-encompassing guide. Our slogan used to be bringing you the best offbeat escapes in the Northeast. The way they're formatted is we tell people why they should go to a place, the things to do there, the best places to eat, best places to stay. And all those things to do could be an amazing hike. It could be a agriculture tour. It could be a historic site. Whatever is there that makes that place special, that's what we write about. And you know, and we get sort of an insider idea, so of you know, what's the best thing to see or do in each place. So yeah. So
okay. Do you have contact with the towns and regions you write about? Or do you just ever visit and wing it? I know you said that you get pitched a lot.
Yeah, we get pitched a lot. And most of the time, I'm sort of reticent to wing it when I'm doing this for research because I'm an outsider. So I really rely on people who live in different towns and regions to show me their area. And what I've found over the years is that the people who live in these places are so passionate about what their area has to offer that's all they do. It's their passion is infectious. So I usually ask these people if, you know, the my contacts, if they could drive me around, and then I can take notes, and you know, we could just have a conversation, and I get a lot of great quotes out of that. So it's also efficient. It's the most efficient way.
Now, do you usually travel solo? And if you do, have you ever experienced any uncomfortable situations as a woman traveling alone?
I never have. You know, I saw this question. And I was thinking about that, and I meet up with people, which is always good.
Yeah.
I guess the most uncomfortable thing is when I'm, going to a restaurant and dining alone. But it's not dangerous. It's just, you know, sometimes a little strange. But that's it. And I usually do travel alone when unless I'm with my husband and it's a weekend, like I'm doing this weekend because I'm going to Lancaster County, Pennsylvania this weekend just for one night to get away.
Would you accept invitations for group press trips?
I've taken group press trips. I've met some amazing friends on a few of them. It's not the best thing for me to do because I have different needs than maybe what a group press trip would do. So, you know, I have very specific needs. I like quirky and, you know, I like to see a lot of things in a little time. But I'm not against them. It's just, it's better for me if I'm alone with a tourism partner.
We're talking with Mallory Yolen Cohen of Getaway Mavens. How do you gather information, Mallory? A recorder, a notebook, a camera, all of the above?
I never use a recorder. I find them really, because I'm not doing a lot of interviewing of people or celebrities. I am very old-fashioned. I have my camera in one hand and my notebook and pen in another hand, and that's all I use. I use, my notebook to take notes, and it was funny because I was out with a tourism guy, and we were having dinner, and I took my notebook out to take some notes, and he said, "Wow," he said, "I haven't seen anyone, a journalist use a notebook in, I don't know, years." And I started laughing. I was like, "This is, I'm in my 60s. What can I say? This is how I do it. It's how I've always done it."
So what's so, your favorite
couple
part?
Minutes ago, Mary Ellen.
Okay.
What's your favorite part of travel writing? The planning, the being there, meeting new people, the writing itself?
I like everything. We'll just keep it at that because I know we have a very limited time. So I like everything to do. I love the writing. I like the organizing. I like the planning. I like all aspects of it. It's a lot of fun for me.
Mm. And out of the 500 or so destinations on Getaway Mavens, do you have a favorite or several favorites?
Yeah, I know. It's the question that every travel writer gets asked. And I like shoreline and waterfront during spring and summer, and I like mountains in the fall, and the winter probably. And if I, had to choose like one place, it was a art colony island off the coast of Midcoast, Maine, called Monhegan Island. And it's very rustic and 10 miles off, and you have to get there by mail boat. And but they have several lodges. One still has kerosene because I think electricity hardly came through there. But it is beautiful. It's like a little piece of Ireland off the coast of Maine. It's gorgeous. So I fell in love with that place, and I want to go back.
It sounds charming. Now, how about your least favorite?
I don't have a least favorite.
Good for you.
Yeah, I really don't. I find charm everywhere I go.
We're talking with Mallory Yolen Cohen of Getaway Mavens.
And Mallory, if you have any closing comments and you can make them real fast, that's great, or otherwise we're going to wrap.
Okay, yeah. Well, thank you very much for having me, both of you. It was a lot of fun. It went really fast, faster than I thought.
Yes. Our guest tonight has been travel blogger Mallory Yolen Cohen of the terrific blog Getaway Mavens. Thank you for joining us on Travel Itch Radio.
Thank you.
And what is the best non-furry armchair companion for the long, cold winter? It's my book, The New Baseball Bible, Notes, Nuggets, Lists, and Legends from National Pastime. 480 pages for less than a sawbuck. It's both a coffee table book and a bathroom book. Read it backwards and still enjoy it. That's the New Baseball Bible 2020 edition with Mike Trout on the cover. And that's it for this edition of Travel Itch Radio. Next week, same time, same station, same writer, same announcers. Our guest will be Jerry Evans of Fairbanks, Alaska, who will tell us the best place and the best way to see the Northern Lights. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg along with co-host Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night and stay safe.